verses 18 to 22. This is the very word of God. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, you see there in verse 18, let me just read it again before we look at the many things that are given to us in this verse. Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We see a number of different things in this verse. It's a very rich verse. And so, I don't do this all the time, but all the points start with P. The person, Christ. The price, he suffered for sins. The perfection, he suffered once for all, and he suffered the just for the unjust. The purpose, to bring us to God. And finally, the power, he's put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we see another display of that power in verse 22, as he has gone into heaven, and angels and authorities and powers are made subject unto him. The person, the price, the perfection, the purpose, and the power of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So first of all, the person, well, it's Jesus Christ, of course. Jesus Christ is the person who can save us. We can't save ourselves. We need to be saved by Jesus Christ. It's a person, not just an idea. It's actually a person who saves us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this statement about Jesus Christ is actually the third section in this letter that mentions Jesus Christ. There are great sections in this letter concerning Jesus Christ, and I invite you to meditate on them. But this is the third one. We're going to meditate for a few minutes on the end of chapter 2 and the connection between that section and what's being said right here. This verse says, for Christ also hath suffered. There's a link to the section before. The section before that was about suffering. It was about suffering, and it was about the merits of doing good even though you suffer. It was about learning to continue to persevere in suffering, because it's better to suffer for doing good than it is to suffer for doing evil. That's what verse 17 said. It is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who suffers, and there's a connection there to our suffering. Notice the word also is used. Christ also has suffered. In other words, there's suffering in the Christian life. It's not only the Lord Jesus who suffers. We suffer too. And we suffer rightly if we recognize how Jesus Christ leads us, how he shepherds us in our suffering. And in order to do that, the Word of God focuses our attention on Jesus Christ himself, his particular suffering. That's what we need to understand. That's why it's given to us here in this verse. We need to understand the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, in chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, we learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ's death as an atoning sacrifice, as one who made the sacrifice that was acceptable before God. The Lord Jesus Christ did. verses 21 to 24 of chapter 2 mention this. Christ suffered for us, we're told. We're told that he didn't have any deceit or guile in his mouth. We're told that he didn't revile those who reviled him. He suffered. He suffered without threatening, and he committed himself to his Father in heaven. That's the example for us. But then Jesus Christ did something more. He's more than an example. He, in his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He was able, in his suffering, to actually bear our sins in himself as the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he did that for a purpose, so that we would die to sin and live to righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're being led to see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our example of suffering, but also we see already in chapter 2 a particular thing that happened in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ that can happen with us. He was able to suffer for the sins of other people. Now you and I aren't able to do that. You might hear that said in certain parts of the world, in certain places where they talk about Jesus Christ, they might say that you're able to suffer for someone else, but you're not. And this is what makes the gospel completely different. This is what makes the message of the gospel completely unique in the history of the world, and the only way of salvation. That we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is more than an example to us. There is a place in regard to suffering that belongs completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his territory. He's completely unique in this respect. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his suffering, is able to take away sins. So this brings us to the price. The price that Jesus Christ paid. The price that was given. It says in our verse, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The price is that he suffered for sins. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. It wasn't because he had to. It's because he was suffering for sins. He was suffering in a way that would take away the penalty for our sins. Chapter 1, verse 18 says this, ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed, or you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The thing that's very important that we understand in regard to the gospel is something that Luther discovered as he began to understand the gospel for the very first time. There is one who can give us righteousness, and it doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from somewhere else. And it's the same way about suffering for our sins. We need to have someone suffer for us. Now, that's not a pleasant message, that your sins are so bad that you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ suffer for you, that he needed to suffer on your behalf. But in fact, God says this is the only way. This is the only way that things could be made right before him. It was through the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He once suffered for sins in order to pay the penalty, in order to experience the wrath of God on our behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. But this suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, was perfect. The perfection of this suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just as though he went to the cross and he made it possible for you to somehow get back into the sphere of God's kindness, and then you make up the difference. No, the Lord Jesus Christ actually perfectly satisfied all of God's wrath against sin when he suffered once for all. That word once is very important in our passage. It's a word that means once for all. In other words, for all time. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for all time. And that's very important. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ did something when he suffered for our sins that is completely unrepeatable. And that's not something you're going to hear in every place. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, you'll hear that the sacrifice of the Mass is a repeating of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says something different. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered once, and that suffering was perfect, and that suffering is unrepeatable. It's unrepeatable because it was perfect. It's unrepeatable because it was final. It's unrepeatable because it was complete. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for all time, for each of his people. The book of Hebrews says it this way, in chapter 9, and verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. He's appearing before the presence of God because he has made a perfect and complete sacrifice for sin. And now he can appear. The Lord Jesus Christ himself appearing before God, that's our salvation. He appears before God on our behalf. And then the book of Hebrews lays out why it's important that this sacrifice is not repeated. It says in verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, the reason that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect and complete is because he offered himself. He offered himself, the perfect God-man, the one who is perfect in righteousness. He offered himself to take away the sins of anyone who would come to God through him. Once and completely. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. He bore our sins, but when he comes back a second time, he's coming back to save us. He's not coming to bear our sins again. He's not coming to repeat his sacrifice. He's coming to bring us home. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Because you see, the sacrifice has been made. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. And we have a way to be in the presence of God right now. It's through Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 14 says, for by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. There is a perfection for you and for me. Our lives are set apart because of the presence of Jesus Christ in the heavenly sanctuary right now. That's the gospel. And then this verse goes on to talk about the perfection, the completeness of the work of Jesus Christ in this language of the just for the unjust. The just. It's speaking of someone who's righteous before God. And it speaks as about a single one. The righteous one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the language, the just for the unjust. It's speaking of more than one. The just is the righteous one. The just is the Lord Jesus Christ. The unjust is all of the people that don't have righteousness. And that's all the rest of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the just. He's a righteous one. But he was sacrificed. He gave himself for the unrighteous. That's the rest of us. Book of Romans says it this way, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you come to God through Jesus Christ, You come to God through a righteous one. You come to God through one who is just. And that's the Lord Jesus himself. There's only one. And that's why this was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, to give himself, the just, the righteous one, for the unrighteous many. For anyone who would come to God through him. Anyone who would come to God through Jesus Christ moves from being unrighteous to righteous in him. Christ's death was a substitution, one given for another. In fact, one for many. We just had an incident in our neighborhood as we were driving here, and there were fire trucks outside, and there were police officers, and I guess part of a building had fallen down. I haven't seen a picture that our neighbor sent me. But you know that it's pretty dangerous for a fireman to go into a building that's collapsed, right? It's possible that that fireman going into that building could have the building collapse on him. And if that were to happen, that fireman would be held up in the city of Philadelphia as a hero, as someone who gave his life trying to save people from a building that was collapsing. And yet the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than that. He gave himself to help a whole world of people, anyone who would come to him. Now, it's true that there are only certain people who will come to Jesus Christ. But the invitation is open. The invitation is to all. Anyone who comes to God through Jesus Christ is rescued. Rescued from our state of being unrighteous before God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself to bear the sins of many. And to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so, that tells us one of the reasons why Jesus Christ died, but the verse tells us another thing, part of his purpose. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the person, the price was suffering for our sins. It's done perfectly, once for all time, the just for the unjust. It's done in a complete way, but it's done for a purpose. You see that little word, that? It signifies purpose, that he might bring us to God. That's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ's work, that he might bring us to God. This is what a priest does. This is what the true priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, does. And so there's this work of Jesus Christ that's like the priests of the Old Covenant, like the priests that we hear about today. But he's completely different. Because those priests could not permanently bring you to God. They cannot today. And they could not in the Old Covenant. Only Jesus Christ is the kind of priest that can do that. Only Jesus Christ can truly bring you to God. And that's his purpose. That's the purpose of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring you to God. You see, it's not just not enough for us to simply know that his sacrifice was acceptable. We actually have to be brought into God's presence. And some of us have heard the gospel before. We've heard that the Lord Jesus Christ is an acceptable sacrifice. We've heard that he is the sacrifice of sacrifices, that he's a once-for-all sacrifice. But we still hold back. Or we still think in our minds, somehow, I'm not acceptable before God. And so we need one who is a priest to actually bring us to God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He brings us into God's presence. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's outlined for us in the book of Hebrews. And it's a very important letter to read. It's like a sermon. It's a letter that's a sermon that you might read and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings you into God's presence. When your conscience bothers you, when you're holding back, you need to know that there's one who's able to bring you into God's holy presence. Because he's paid the penalty, the just for the unjust. And because that his purpose in doing that is to bring you to God. How did he do that? How did the Lord Jesus Christ fulfill his purpose? How did he bring you to God? How did this person who paid this price who did it perfectly bring you to God. He does it by this power that is displayed for us at the end of verse 18. The power that is displayed in the work of Jesus Christ. Not now the sufferer, but now, as we begin to see the end of chapter 3, the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ, triumphing because he suffered and was raised. Look at what it says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's his purpose. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Quickened by the Spirit. The point of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was to open the throne room of God. To see that, you just need to look down at verse 22. Who Jesus Christ, well, it mentions is resurrected in verse 21, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ today. He's in the throne room of heaven. But it's through his death and his resurrection, you see. And there's great power in what Jesus Christ did in being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's extreme power, power that is beyond our earthly limitations. Now, some of us who have been following the news know that there is a particular virus that the world is trying to get a hold of. We don't know how far it's spread. Sin has spread throughout the world, from generation to generation, through every person, man, woman, boy, or child. Sin is completely part of human nature outside of Jesus Christ. And there was only one way that God, in his power, could deliver and save men and women and boys and girls who had this sin as part of their nature. It's through the work of Jesus Christ. He was put to death in the flesh. But then he was raised. He was made alive. He was quickened by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that did something. And we've already seen in our letter, already seen in 1 Peter, a number of different ways. In chapter 1 and verse 2, it speaks of believers in Jesus Christ being elect, or chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through being set apart by the Holy Spirit. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ applied to you sets you apart. You are now set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit. You are set apart in a way that enables you to understand something that even the prophets of the Old Testament were seeking to understand, because you have clear knowledge of something that the prophets sought to understand. Chapter 1 and verse 11 says that these prophets who were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That same Holy Spirit that set you apart gives you knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ, his sufferings unto glory, and what it means for you. And that's something that even the prophets the Old Testament stretched to understand. This is amazing power. That men and women and boys and girls today would have knowledge of something that the prophets of the Old Testament, those who received revelation from God, stretched to understand. That Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead enables you to understand the gospel. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on in 1 Peter, speaks to us about how the Spirit purifies us. In chapter 1 and verse 22, purifies our souls in obeying the truth in order that we might love the family of God without pretending. Purifying our souls in obeying the truth so that we might love the family of God without pretending. Chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You see, not only has the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ given to us, set us apart, not only has the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ enabled us to understand the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means, but the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in the throne room of God is given to you so that you might have a pure soul that obeys the truth and loves brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ without pretending. That's the work of the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Tonight we'll consider Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. But it's a lot more personal than that. Romans 8 says this: ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Did you know that you have an identity before God in the Spirit? This is the work of Jesus Christ. This is what has been applied to you by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have an identity in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what would happen? I know you're afraid. You know what would happen if you were to die from COVID-19? The Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead would quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that right now dwells in you. Just let that sink in for a moment, because you're not hearing that on the news. We're following the news, and we're listening to the threat that has been being presented to us. But I also want you to understand that God has already provided for you in this. He has provided for you through being joined to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, a new life. And this new life will cause you to be raised from the dead in your body. You will receive a new body. But there's more than that, you see, because that same Spirit is now alive in you. That same Spirit has caused you to be renewed so that you belong to Jesus Christ. And you see, that changes the way you read Psalm 23, doesn't it? That changes the way you read Psalm 23, even in the midst of situations like this, because you have the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read this to you one more time, and I just want you to think about the fact that you have the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and you are set apart, that you understand the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a way that surpassed the prophets of the Old Testament, that you have been given the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that you might be purified in your souls, that you might love one another without pretending, and you have the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that you might have new life. And this new life helps you to see the shepherd 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. This is your shepherd. He took your place. But now he's in the throne room of God. And he's shepherding you from there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We took care of my mother-in-law in our home. She grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church. She had a very ritualistic faith. When I tried to get her to pray the Lord's Prayer, she went so fast, I couldn't get her to slow down and think about the words. But one day, my mother-in-law was talking to me about this psalm. And this is what she said to me. I pray that prayer every night. I pray that God will make me worthy to dwell in his presence because of Jesus. And you see, it's at that moment that I knew that my mother-in-law understood the gospel. It wasn't because she grew up in the Greek church. It wasn't because she knew the Lord's Prayer. It's because she knew Jesus. And that makes all the difference for you and for me today. We know Jesus today. And because we know Jesus, everything is different. You have a shepherd. You have one who personally paid the price. He suffered for your sins. He did it perfectly. He did it completely. He did it once for all time. He was the righteous one. He gave his life for you and for me, unrighteous people before God. He did that not only to pay the penalty for our sins, but to bring us to God. Because he is right now the priest in the sanctuary. And he himself represents our salvation. And there is great power in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive, quickened by the work of the Holy Spirit. And in his death and resurrection, our sins were taken away. Our protection came down from heaven and was given to each one of us personally. And we were given knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference, brothers and sisters. There is nothing that compares to that. Do you know Jesus? If you do, you're safe in the presence of God. Let's pray.